Welcome to Showdown. I'm Mark Kaysen, and we have Vic Faust in the studio here. So we've got a little bit of Showdown and a little bit of cancel this show. So let me ask you this, Vic. Are you upset right now by anything?
Well, first of all, good to see you.
No, it is good to see you. No, you don't even know where I'm going with it.
No, I don't know where you're going.
Okay.
And your audience doesn't know who the hell I am.
Well.
And my audience from the morning from Cancel This.
They've seen me.
But I don't know if they know who the hell you are.
Yeah. Well, they probably do because we were on and.
I'm not upset. I'm more.
No.
I'm kind of a confused, uncomfortable right now.
Okay. Well, here's the question.
Okay.
Why, in the bottom of the third, are the Cardinals losing 2-0? That's my question.
Oh, you know, here's my deal. I haven't even looked at the Cardinals yet. I know they started at 3-10. I know they took the first two games of the series, which makes me think that they're probably due for a loss today. And I know they're getting ready to start their home season tomorrow, the home schedule part of it. So I wasn't very hopeful today, but I have no idea what has happened to put them down 2-0.
Yeah. Well, I don't know either. I just know.
I do know this. Mason Wynn is not starting today at shortstop for the Cardinals, and I have no effing idea why.
Yeah.
Okay, that's the only thing that upsets me. Why isn't he starting today?
Probably because the manager needs to be probably Yachty. That's probably the answer.
We need Yachty.
Yeah, that's probably the answer. I heard somebody talking the other day about how Ted Simmons ought to be doing it.
Ted Simmons?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I didn't
God.
Even know he was still alive, but okay, I'm glad he is.
Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
First, I love the fact that you have the show, and I love your perspective, even though there's very little that you and I share in common when it comes to politics. At least, I think.
We're going to find out.
But was that music, was that Showdown music that you start the show off with?
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah. You know what that is? No, that is, and I heard you talking music this morning as well, so you're apparently a music guy.
No, we're not. That's the problem.
I'm not so much, but anyway, that's Bob Dylan. That's Ballad of a Thin Man.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, something's happening, but you don't know what it is, do you, Mr. Jones? So that's, yeah.
Yeah, I know you're a 70s guy.
At least, or late 60s. Yeah. Yeah.
I love it, my friend. I love it.
Yeah. In 1969, I was running through Europe with a Eurail pass.
Okay.
$100 for a month, which that Eurail pass, you could ride the trains anywhere. I mean, you can still get those, but they're not 100, you know, it's a lot late, you know, 50 years later. But at any rate, in 69, I was in Europe, and it was 24 years after the end of World War II, and that seemed like a long time. The only difference is that now it's 55 years past that. So time has a way. Time has a way of doing all kinds of interesting things.
Oh, no, I get it.
Yeah.
I get it.
Well, you get it sort of, but you'll get it a little more as time goes further.
And I am listening to you, by the way. No. I'm promoting both of us on all of our platforms now.
No, that's fine.
Since this is, we have you on the Cancel This platform today.
Yeah.
But I'm your guest. I'm an invited guest.
That's correct.
Into your home today.
Yeah. And by the way, you know, having been in broadcasting for 35 years, I've experienced almost everything. So you sitting there texting during the show is reminiscent of one of our very famous guests who did the same thing, Jeff Smith. And you know where he ended up, right?
Yeah, but Jeff is a good man.
Well, he may be a good man, but be careful.
And I like Jeff.
I'm just saying, you know, you may end up where he ended. I don't know.
You know, he asked me if I was interested in working for a marijuana company, a cannabis company, by the way. And I'm like, no, it's all right. We got something going on here. It's all good. I support that industry. I do. But I was like, when I saw that the job description, one of the highlights of it was reduced price of product. I was like, okay, I know what kind of salary this is going to be.
Yeah, you know, look.
We're going to pay you in bud.
Yeah, right. Look, I can tell you right now that Jeff had a habit of going on programs and texting. He did that all the time. Now, I don't know if he did it after jail, but he was doing it before jail, and he might have, you know, calmed down a little bit. But at any rate, yeah, there's an interesting story, because good guy. I agree with you.
100%.
Good guy. Yeah. Professor.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We like those professors. Anyway, so, you know, we got the Cardinals out of the way here. Let's try this, because I listened to you this morning.
You did.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Well, I listened to you other times, but I listened to you this morning, and I was interested in this school board business.
Yeah. Okay.
So talk to me for a minute here about what you think these school boards are even capable of doing, because I'm going to tell you what I think in a minute. But
good, because you're a professor/teacher.
Sure.
First of all, can I introduce myself? And for people who are listening from your audience, Showdown, because you guys are here Monday through Friday, 4 to 5 p.m.
That's correct.
We do a show called Cancel This, Monday through Friday, 8 to 10 a.m., all out of Renew Media Studios. And we're more, I mean, we consider ourselves, myself and Lizzie Sparks, to be more conservatives doing a show about facts, not feelings. And we want all opinions that are welcome. So you do your show, and I'm a guest on your show today, and we put it on the platform for people who may or may not know. So with that being said, when it came to the school boards.
Yeah, and by the way, you said an interesting thing, that you do your show based on facts.
Yes.
And sometimes when I listen to you, I wonder where you get those facts.
Exactly.
Because I can tell you, as you well know, Kellyanne Conway, I don't know what she calls herself now after divorcing George, but
you mean the former chief of staff for Trump?
Yeah, whatever she was. Anyway, she was the one who originally came up with the idea of alternative facts, which we all find very interesting, because
I thought that was MSNBC who did that.
Nope.
CNN?
Nope. That was Kellyanne.
Are you?
And I wouldn't give
Rachel Maddow.
Yeah. Nope. No, Rachel knows what she's talking about. Rachel has facts. But go ahead. Okay.
Barack Obama, Joe Biden. I thought that was actually, let's come to an agreement. I think we can agree on one thing, that KJP is arguably the most unprepared, not ready media spokesperson for a president that we have ever seen.
I don't understand where that comes from.
Oh,
really? What?
Making up facts?
No.
Okay.
But I heard some of the facts that you guys had this morning, which clearly were not facts in my universe.
Well, here, yeah. I mean, you went to a school board. You want to talk about school board? Yeah. School board things can be a very important topic all over the country. I don't think St. Louis is different than a lot of places when it comes to school board. The story that we had, and I'll do it as quickly as I can.
Yeah.
And by the way, thank you for inviting me on your show.
No, don't be silly. We're having fun.
So the whole thing with the situation with school boards, number one, at least in some of the districts around the St. Louis metropolitan area, I think it's safe to say that candidates who were more successful were candidates who were not far-right candidates. They were candidates who might push a little bit more down the middle to the left. With that being said, our whole focus this morning with my partner Lizzie Sparks was the fact that far-right needs to settle down, and that other candidates are promoted. And our biggest issue when it comes to us disagreeing is what maybe the NEA may have to do with certain candidates, teachers unions, teachers voting for candidates, vote not getting out as it should have been, because voting is abysmal. We feel people should be more, I guess you could say, interested, just interested in going and voting for school board candidates, whether they have children or not.
And you would like... you would like more conservative
candidates,
right?
We want candidates, or at least the basis of our show, what we got from our listeners on our show is we were looking, absolutely looking for candidates who are legitimately concerned about kids learning math, English, science, reading, PE, musical arts, and not getting into any of this social bullshit. Because social and transgender and sex and all this, we just don't feel there's a place in elementary schools for this. There's a place for maybe in middle school as you're teaching kids about the body. But the sexualization of kids and pushing that, no. So if that means a conservative candidate, then fine. But the thing is, you got to know the candidates and then go down each candidate. So it's hard to group everybody in, right?
It's not that hard.
To group everybody in, so you need to make sure that you are voting for the people that you want to vote for.
Yeah.
I just found it interesting, the Post-Dispatch promoted as it's about love won in Francis Howell School District. I don't know if you saw that headline or not.
Yeah, I saw it for sure.
So I didn't know where you wanted to take this. Here's where
I want to take it. First of all, do you think that if it were possible in the United States, which I'm going to say it's really not, but if it were possible to inject all of these conservatives into these school boards all over the country, do you think that the kids would push back hard against it?
Maybe. That's a good point. Maybe. Here's the thing. I'm not against a liberal idea. I'm not against a Democrat. I agree with giving a little to get a little. I believe in checks and balances. And I think most of our show on Cancel This does too. The problem is, and we even called it out, and you got to give us credit for this because Lizzie even did. If you said you listened to us today, Mark, I'm curious if you heard us rip the far right. Did you hear that?
No, I didn't hear it this morning, but I've heard you do that before.
Yeah, we try to be fair and honest. Yeah. We really honest to God do from our, first of all, from where what we see. And obviously, a conservative and a liberal don't see the same way. You and I don't see the same way in a lot of things, but we respect each other enough and have big enough hearts to make sure that we're trying to do things together. Hey, for the betterment, this is what I feel is better. This is what you feel is better. The problem with our country, and we know in Congress, is that there's no give and take. And I think it's fair to say that the far left and the far right have some massive issues and it causes problems. We call that out and we try to. No, we didn't even think that every far right candidate should be in office. I think it's a personal situation. I think it's a situation by situation example where, okay, this person's for this in this situation, this candidate stands for these issues here, which is why it seems that, you know, if you want a conservative candidate, that doesn't mean you have to have them all. So, no, I agree with you.
Well, let me ask you this. Let's see how much you agree. For example, Francis Howell. Are you upset over Francis Howell and other districts around the country trying to get rid of black studies and also trying to get rid of DEI, which, of course, is diversity, equity, and inclusion?
What does DEI stand for?
Diversity. Equity, inclusion.
Oh, I was taught that it means didn't earn it.
Yeah. Well, no, I understand what you're saying, but what
you
I'm
mean
saying,
it doesn't mean
no,
didn't earn it?
No, listen, that's all funny, but here's the problem. Across the country, it all boils down to one thing. Anti-black.
No, it doesn't.
Well, that's how Glenn Youngkin, who was the first one that really pushed this out in Virginia, and he beat, you know, Terry McAuliffe,
the Virginia governor.
Yeah. And he beat Terry McAuliffe, and you know, everybody thought McAuliffe was going to win, but no.
Yeah, but Terry McAuliffe was not a good candidate.
Well, he's a great candidate.
Really?
Yeah.
Why? He didn't have any chops.
Yeah. Look, here's the problem.
He failed with the DNC.
No, he failed because the use of black faces in a race, sort of like George H.W. Bush did way back with the Willie Horton ad, is extremely powerful in the United States because there is an anti-black view that runs through this country in a way that is very successful in Virginia, You know, right here in our state, this is being put front and center. Wentzville banning Toni Morrison. Come on, what's that about?
But why did they ban Toni Morrison?
Black. Simple.
Mark,
black.
It wasn't just because.
No, I know they say sexualization.
100%.
Yeah, no, not. Toni Morrison was not sexualizing anybody.
Do you know that we have black Americans, black Missourians in Wentzville who disagree with everything that you're saying right there?
Very few.
Watch our show?
Very few.
No, but the more black America is waking up, specifically in Missouri, specifically 38 and under, 37 and under, when it comes to ideals like that. I don't know. I mean, I don't want to get sidetracked.
No. I want to get sidetracked because
the Francis Howell situation here's the thing. Whatever the school board wants to do with the books, I could care less personally. I'm just giving you an idea from our viewers. Most of our viewers in the morning with CancelTheShow.com, Monday through Friday, 8 to 10 a.m., by the way, is the fact that they're elective courses, correct? The courses in Francis Howell that you referred to, but they were elective courses. I wish that they could have them. Only 100 students were taking them. So I figure, okay, well, now we're catering. If there are only 100 students in the entire district are taking two classes. And if those stats were right, I went, okay, I could understand if only 100 kids are taking classes. What if there was 100 kids at one of these other classes? You know, then we're not going to give them their classes because 100 in that district that size seems small. I don't think the general consensus is a fact. We don't want them learning about black this and black history and black culture and black literature. It was just a matter, and I blame the media too, the local TV stations, for not covering every side of the story because we didn't hear a side of the story from the district and from parents who were like, no, we don't think this is good. It's not a matter of we have to have black courses or nothing. If you want to offer up these classes, I hope to God a district that big could offer them if there were students that wanted to take them.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you this.
And from the viewers and listeners, they had no problems with that. It's like, let's not just make this a race issue about black and white.
Well, it's a race issue.
But why do you feel it is?
Well, I'll give you an example. Out in Rockwood.
The classes are going to be there.
Okay. As an example, out in Rockwood, where they have a longstanding DEI program. The head of DEI, a black guy, quit a little over a year ago. And the reason he quit, he made it apparent. He told, you know, it was because the district was undermining the whole DEI effort, which they pretended to support by bringing him in. And he didn't want to be part of that. And I asked him to come on the air, but he wouldn't do it because he was afraid that he wouldn't get any other jobs anywhere else.
Who are you talking about?
I forget his name, but he was the head of the DEI program over at Rockwood. He's a black guy. But at any rate, no, I mean, you know.
It's not LeGarrette King, is it?
No.
Okay.
No. Anyway, the point is that you know, like you brought up, well, I mentioned Toni Morrison because that was the situation out in Wentzville. And I don't know the names of all the other books that they're trying to ban. But I do know, and I don't think you're going to find any sexualization in this, that in Florida, they banned one book that was about Roberto Clemente and one book that was about Hank Aaron. And tell me what they could have done wrong, except for being black.
I don't know the specific incidents, but the way you described it, no, they shouldn't be. But I'm going to tell you something. Most of our viewers and listeners, and I'm trying to be a mouthpiece for them with Cancel This joining your show Showdown, once again being a guest with you, is a situation of, listen, I might be different than a lot of people. I don't care what books are there. I'm a big believer in books. Ben Kahn, the owner of Wendy's, who's a sponsor of your show, he made a great living, busted his ass with books, and he has helped me realize a lot when it comes to books. I'm not against books being there, but what I would like is some supervision over kids and being sexually exploited or having this material in a classroom. Whatever happens at home happens at home, but having this material for young kids and especially pushing transgender studies and any other kind of crap like that, especially under the age of 18.
Yeah. Well, I know you're going to say it's under the age of 18, but I want to say to you that, you know, I taught for 12 years at Fontbonne University. And I would give them an assignment every year that they had to go find a book that had something to do with the Constitution in the library. It was a constitutional law class. And they had to find this book and then come back and present to the class, you know, what the scoop is on this book. Mm-hmm. And every year, without fail, the kids managed to find a book in this Catholic university.
Of course they
are. That the name of the book was F-U-C-K.
Yeah.
That was the name of the book.
No, I
okay,
get it.
I mean,
books are the least of my concern and the least of our viewers, because this country is a total shitbag mess right now. And books, as important as they are right now, are the least of my concerns, the least of our viewers' concerns. The school board stuff gets us back into like our target, into our radar of what we're concerned about. And I know that books underneath school boards and teachers' unions can kind of fall into a category where it all kind of correlates.
Yeah, but I'm going to say that books are extremely important. And the reason why is, first of all,
one or two books not being allowed.
Well, it's worse than that.
And there's more places in the country where books like that are allowed than where they are not allowed.
Well, they should be allowed.
Okay, then that's why I don't think it's a major problem from your standpoint.
Well, I know that there's an effort to stop books. And I'm going to even back up on this in a second. But let me also say, kids don't like to read.
And it's sad.
Yeah,
and it really is. And it's another portion which has nothing to do with Republicans, Democrats, or independents.
It's not.
It has to do with our society. It has to do with parents.
Yeah, there's a problem. Yeah, I'm worried about parents that don't encourage their kids to read. And beyond that, I can also tell you that kids do not read, by any stretch of the imagination, the newspaper.
Nobody reads a newspaper anymore.
Well,
come on.
They should.
You get it online.
Well, wait. I read it online too.
Okay.
Yes, but I bring the newspaper into my classrooms because I really feel it's important the kids touch a newspaper.
The touching of a book. 100%. I get it. You and I are more old school in that sense, but I have no problem with people reading from a tablet, from an iPhone, or from a laptop.
Yeah. Do you have a problem with this? Every kid in every one of my classes that I ask, almost without fail, I ask them, where do you get your news? You know where they get it,
yeah.
Right? Where?
Yeah, their phones.
Well, but where?
What do you mean? Phones, headlines.
Every kid says TikTok.
Yeah, well, that's
every
part of
every kid.
That's part of it.
They all say TikTok.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and what they're getting from TikTok is insanity. Insanity.
Yeah, and well, 100%, I agree with you. And and I don't agree with banning TikTok, which is becoming
another issue. Oh, no, I don't want to ban it.
But it does need to be owned by a company outside of China. They need to sell that to another company, and the United States needs to force that, because if you look at TikTok China compared to TikTok US, far different pages in regards to the kind of information you're going to get.
And you know, I'm not afraid of China, and I'm not afraid of Russia. I'm not afraid of any country out there because I happen to believe in the First Amendment, not the Second.
Thank God you do.
Not the Second. I mean, I believe in the Second too. I just don't believe in what you think it probably is. But here's the thing. The First Amendment, absolutely. And here's the problem. And I don't even want to block Donald's First Amendment rights. I do not. However,
thank you.
However,
that's because you have a brain.
But he's a sick man. But still, a sick man has a right to the First Amendment too. But here's the problem. And I played this for the kids. He got on television, and he said that the blood of America is being poisoned by immigrants coming from Africa. Now, I don't know any other way to tell you what that means, but that is so anti-black. I mean, if he said it was immigrants coming from Israel, I mean,
when did Donald?
Well, he would be.
When did Donald say this, and what context was it again?
The context was lunacy, and
that doesn't answer the question.
And when he said it,
when did he say that? What time period was that?
I mean, how long ago?
Yeah.
Couple months.
Okay, where was he when he was talking about
it? Probably at a rally.
No, it's not probably. You got to let me know. It's the context of everything. It's just like you can't take one clip.
It was a rally. It was a rally.
But what was it regarding?
What was it regarding? It was regarding his love for Hitler.
Oh, my God.
The words are exactly the words of Hitler. And listen.
Did you not see Joe Biden's speech with red everywhere? I, Hitler. I mean, if anybody's a Hitler.
Oh, no, come on. That old man isn't doing anything.
It's Joe O. Biden. You're probably right. He isn't doing anything because the cognitive ability isn't there. You're right. And you want to
It is because you heard his speech.
If you want to talk about sick people, you want to talk about the mad sniffer. Do you know he was sniffing babies again on Easter?
Oh, that's so silly.
We show the video every day.
That is so silly.
You don't know. And here, I don't blame you for not knowing because you don't watch. You watch a network, MSNBC, combined with CNN, which still can't even get higher ratings than Fox News together. First quarter results just came out with ratings. Did you see the ratings? Fox News beat again first quarter this year.
Yeah, but Joe
MSNBC.
Joe Scarborough's way high. And so is.
Who's Joe Scarborough?
Yeah, come on, stop it.
Who is he?
Yeah. He's.
Oh, yeah, he's the Trump derangement syndrome guy.
Yeah.
He's. That lies. No, he's
a
not
guy who believes in everything you believe in. He's a conservative.
He's not a conservative.
No. Well, actually,
he's as much of a conservative as you are. But to call Donald Trump a sick man when this guy, all he has done is give up everything that he has, every freedom, every peace of mind just to run for president, to become more broke. To have all of those charges lobbied against him, which we all know would not be happening if he wasn't running for president.
No, that's not true.
Yes, it is.
Let's look at the timeline.
And they're fake charges as it is. They're trumped up charges.
Okay, let's look at the timeline.
You don't have to like him, but he's not a sick man.
He's very sick.
A sick man is somebody who is grabbing, groping women, children, sniffing them. We've got endless videos, and he's still doing it.
Okay, how about this one?
You didn't see the Easter video?
No.
Oh, my God. Mark, please, you have to look at it.
I'll look at
He's
it.
Like,
I will look at
and
it.
And he goes in for a second one going.
I will look at it. Now, let me ask you this. Yeah, this is all funny. But
I'm being serious.
No, this is all funny, but did Donald Trump rape a woman?
No.
Okay. The judge says that the jury said that he raped E. Jean Carroll. Now, in the United States, we say innocent until proven guilty.
Mm-hmm.
But when a jury...
The jury did not find
him. When a jury says, then that's the end.
No,
the jury,
that's not true.
The words that they used were sexual assault.
Yeah.
I'll tell you.
It was a civil case, Mark.
Civil case.
Yeah.
Let me ask you something.
Do you need me to explain law to you, the difference between civil and criminal?
So let me ask you this.
And a liberal judge?
Let me ask you this.
A liberal judge that donated to liberal causes?
But it's not
I know where
the
you're
jury.
Going with.
It's not the jury.
Yeah, but he told the jury how to think.
Okay, no.
Yes, he did.
Let me ask you this. if somebody sexually assaulted either your wife or any other member of your family, would you have a problem?
If they did it, yes.
Okay. Well, this guy was found to have done it by a jury.
But I think even on your show, there was zero evidence.
Well, you can start saying that.
Juries get it wrong.
No, wait.
You know juries get it wrong.
In the United States.
Now you're going to take us to another board. Yeah, I know what you're
juries.
Saying.
That's our system. We believe in them.
Did you see any of E. Jean Carroll's interview on CNN with Anderson Cooper?
Where she said
rape is sexy, and they cut her off. She said rape is sexy, Mark. It's not your fault that you don't know this because you don't see evidence. And I get it for people who don't see evidence. Like, oh, the jury said that. Yeah. Do you realize that she presented a dress that wasn't even around in the time when this allegedly happened? That she was laughing, making fun of this whole situation afterwards? That's why I don't believe it. No.
How about the 19 other women who are...
How about the 19 women who have claimed Joe Biden raped and sexually assaulted them?
There are none of those.
There are.
There are none.
Do I need to go down the names? I'll find them.
No, there are none on Joe Biden.
I'm just trying to be fair since you brought up the topic.
I want to. That's fine. But there are none on Joe Biden.
By the way, for viewers and listeners who are coming in, I'm a guest on your show.
That's
so
true.
I hope I'm showing you respect.
Of course.
All right.
No, we're doing great.
I get excited. I am a guest on your show.
Listen, and here's the thing. You'll notice.
And rape is never sexy. Yeah. Somebody who's been raped would never say rape is sexy.
Right. You'll notice that not at one time, nor will it happen, have you and I spoken over each other.
Try not to.
No. We're not.
It's a respect factor.
No, you happen to be something that's very important, which is apparent in here, and that is you're a TV broadcast professional, okay? And I, as well, have been broadcasting for 35 years in St. Louis. And I can tell you something right now. We're pros that do not speak over each other and do the crazy things that occur in some different places.
No, amen. I'm with you, buddy.
Yeah. So,
but we want to get along. I'm so tired of division all over the freaking place.
Well, sure.
It drives me freaking crazy.
Sure.
But
that's ridiculous. Actually, they're doing some very interesting research at UMSL on this exact subject, trying to understand why everybody in this country is put in two groups and hate each other on opposite sides.
Well, you know what that is.
No,
those are your global friends.
No,
the globalists.
No.
The deep state. And there is a deep state.
Oh, there is. Do you know, I explain, and here's something I do teach my kids in school. I'm glad you brought that up.
By the way, I do love your kids at Cardinal Ritter.
Oh, they're great.
They are great. And we've had them on our show in the morning for people who don't know. And you are doing a damn good job, and they respect you. So even if I disagree with every single thing that you say or anybody else, you're doing something right over there, Dr. Kaysen, because those kids are freaking phenomenal.
Yeah, here's what I teach the kids. And there's some things I don't and some things I do. This one I do, that the United States has a system where we allow people to take a civil service exam. They take that exam, and then they get to work in the federal government in different agencies all over the federal government. There are tens of thousands of these people. They are not a deep state. What they are is fabulous Americans who serve this country year in and year out because they believe in America. And they do an incredible job, and it's a system that's been in effect for generations, and it's not an effort to do two things. It's not an effort to turn the country into a communist country, nor is it an effort to destroy Donald Trump, who does a perfectly good job of destroying himself. Go ahead.
I've got nothing. That's great. I'm laughing. That's great.
Okay. Well, at any rate, so the kids understand that, and they understand that, you know, you can go to work for the federal government in these agencies,
but
making $40,000 to $90,000 a year. It's not a lot of money. Okay. So there's something that those people are doing that they have some commitment to America, which it seems to me that the commitment to America is something that we could both agree on.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
You know what I love best about your students? The last time that we had you guys on live, when we asked them if they would vote Donald Trump or Joe Biden in the election, and I believe everyone in that class except one would be 18 by the next election that we asked the three.
Yeah.
They all three said, we don't know yet. We're still deciding.
Right.
And that gave me hope that you're teaching them to think with an open mind.
Oh, absolutely.
Not what you're saying on this show.
Well, no. I'm not saying anything
because
really
I was
different.
For sure. Oh, if they're casing kids, they're going to be all Biden because they're only hearing one side.
Kids aren't like that.
And then they were like, no, we're deciding. And I'm like, oh, okay. Nice job.
And here's the thing. My kids will decide at school. My personal kids did decide, and they came down on the left. But they don't really think about it that way. My kids don't run around every day saying, you know, we're radical leftists and we come from, you know, Mark Kaysen. Now, Mark Kaysen.
Oh, your biological kids.
They're my, yeah. 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 Now, I say I'm a radical leftist. Yes. And what does that even mean? I don't think anybody even knows what it means. I only use it that way because back in the 60s and 70s, we used to say that a person who claimed to be a liberal, well, often, you know, it was like, I'm a liberal, but, you know, I hope black people don't live next door to me. You know, that was a liberal in the 1970s. So we had to say something else. And so we said leftist. And I add radical leftist just to make sure.
I know. I hate terminology.
No, but it's important. It really is.
But we get caught up too much in it. Are you, for example, are you far right or are you right? And then it all starts to bleed into one another and it confuses things.
Yeah. But here's the thing. I'm a far left guy who has spent my entire life trading stocks, bonds, commodities. I mean, before I taught, that's what I did. Is I was a stock market professional. And all I'm saying is here, you know, take George Soros. I mean, I had Eric Greitens on up here in the first week, and Eric could no way accept that George Soros was an okay guy. But you know something?
We don't have any proof of that, though.
Yeah, but
don't have any proof that he's an okay guy.
Well, here's what I know. Here's what I know for a fact. His partner for his entire career in the commodities business has been a man named James Rogers, very famous commodity trader. Very excellent trader like George Soros, and he's extremely conservative.
That doesn't matter. Money to people is more important than values a lot of times as well. And you know that from being in the money industry.
But it proves that he is a capitalist.
Yes, he is a capitalist.
Okay. Well, people say he's a communist and
he's
a
capitalist to be a communist.
Oh, come on.
Mark.
No.
What do you do with your money?
What do I do with
money? No, I mean, I'll tell you.
I mean, I
to George
spend it
Soros.
On my kids.
No, rhetorically.
So does he.
Yeah. We don't have time to get breakdown into all the agendas that he has put money into.
Well, listen.
And Kim Gardner told us a lot of it when I had her on my show.
Yeah, well, she feared a lot of things.
No, but she spoke truth.
Doesn't make it true. She feared things.
You can't make excuses for Kim Gardner now because if Kim Gardner was one thing, she was direct.
I like Kim Gardner.
I like her as a person too, not as a prosecutor.
Well, and let me say this. I know,
she did tell us all about George Soros funding her and other far left liberal DAs around America. And she did it with passion. She did it with confidence. And she's like, so what's the difference? He wants to see this over here. What's the difference with the Koch brothers doing what they've done with Republicans?
What is the difference?
Well, then this is where we get into our another silo conversation. George Soros has shown us through a variety of groups and now carried on with his son where it is very anti-American policy.
Well, no, actually, it's very much like Warren Buffett, the same way, who gave money to his son to give away, and then on top of that, he gave a bunch of money to other, you know, top people in the
how do we get
in
on
the tech business?
If I got us on this subject, I'm
no,
sorry.
No, it's a good subject because look, there are people who give their money to lots of things,
correct,
and the big name people give them like a lot to social justice. Okay, Warren Buffett is not the devil. He gives things to social justice as well. He gives his money away because he wants to help people, and he's got the ability to.
Are you talking about Soros again?
Well, both of them do.
Oh, okay.
Both of them do. There are a lot of people like them.
Buffett and Soros are two very different people when it comes to
things.
They don't promote a lot of the same causes.
Okay. Well, let me say what I want to promote real quick. And then we'll come back and finish this up because I want to promote a restaurant that I know that you love.
Absolutely.
And you have actually been at that restaurant with me.
Yes, I have.
We sat down with Ben.
I couldn't believe all the shots you were drinking that night.
Yeah. Just and listen to anybody that believed that, but which is really funny.
Oh, wait a second. Maybe it was me.
Which is really,
I drink so much
been,
I forgot.
Might have been. Because actually, I've never been a drinker. I mean, I've had a cup of wine at the synagogue, you know.
A cup of wine.
Yeah.
A cup of wine.
At the synagogue. But other than that, no. But look, they got a lot more than alcohol at Wendy's. They've got smoked meats. Do you like that?
Oh, I do.
Do you?
It's not my favorite there, though.
How about baby back ribs?
I like them, but not my favorite.
Okay. How about pizza?
I like the pizza, but it's not my favorite.
The wings?
Now you're in my sweet spot.
Well, isn't that interesting?
These are the smoked wings.
Yeah.
Dry. Okay. And I put a little ranch on them. So then it's somewhat healthy, and you still have every flavor in that wing. That's why I don't like to put too much on it, just a little bit of ranch so I can eat those damn wings. And you can smell them from Spirit Airport in Chesterfield all the way down to Winty's about a mile away.
Yeah, and I'm much more...
Did you notice how I was talking?
Yeah,
you know, like good. When Joe Biden gets kind of like, when he gets kind of sick and everything, and he starts whispering. And yeah, that's how those wings make me like Joe Biden. I can't think straight. And
Joe,
I start whispering and I start sniffing. And
Joe is quite a speaker recently.
Oh, yeah.
He's not John Kennedy.
I don't want to interrupt
he's
the Wendy's
He's not John
commercial.
Kennedy. He's not John Kennedy.
And he's certainly not Barack Obama. I'm sorry, Barack Obama is the best orating president I've ever seen. Irritating and orating.
He's pretty good. He's pretty good. No, one of my really good friends in broadcasting thinks that Barack Obama has been the most impactful president in our lifetime.
He has, but
And he thinks it. He thinks it like probably you in a negative way.
Yes, yes, he's been impactful.
Yeah.
But I also give him credit for being the best orator and in front of a teleprompter ever.
Okay.
But I don't want to take us off the Wendy's.
No, well, listen, it would be great to have all of these people at Wendy's. You know, we could bring John Kennedy back and, you know, we could all sit down and have a great meal together. It would be interesting to have people like Kennedy take a look at what's going on today and to hear their comments on it. But anyway, so let's say again, 18,000 Chesterfield Airport Road. That's where you go to get all of this great food at Wendy's. Very, very good food. And the fact that Ben is there, I always talk about this, is very important, that these companies that have owners on site tend to be really excellent places because the people who own the businesses care.
Well, it's happy hour. Get on down. I'll be there after the show because I'm going to need a stiff drink
after
an hour with you.
Now,
that's
that,
for sure.
That I would say you probably
Dear
will.
Dear God, help me. Have you, one ready for me, Wendy's, please.
You probably will. So next I want to say...
I'm going to need an Uber home tonight.
Do you buy jewelry for your wife?
Hey, real quick, about Wendy's.
Yeah.
They got a second location I haven't even told you about yet.
Oh, didn't know that.
It just finalized.
Oh, okay.
Wendy's too. Wendy's Roadhouse in Defiance.
Oh, okay.
So they're going to be opening up pretty soon too, especially with the weather now getting good down in wine country in Defiance. Check it out. So Wendy's Roadhouse coming.
Yeah. So, and you know what they say about Missouri, right?
What is that?
St. Louis on
one
side.
That it's a red state?
St. Louis on one side.
That it's a red state.
Kansas City on the other side. And Alabama in the middle. Okay. Just wanted to make sure you knew that. Okay.
Yeah, I like
it. So the next thing I wanted to do is jewelry.
Uh-huh.
You buy your wife jewelry?
Well, I'm single. I have a girlfriend.
Oh, okay. Well,
I have a girlfriend.
And partner.
Yeah, so if I need to, I'm going to need to, maybe at some point.
Yeah. So that's a good thing. So what you're going to want to do is go to 4506 Hampton.
Okay.
In St. Louis, and that's Jewels on Hampton.
Oh,
I can
nice.
Tell you right now that again, the owner is a guy named Al, and he is there all the time, and really excellent. I mean, these people know jewelry. If you go there, like almost any time, the place is jammed with people, and they have lots of parking, and it's right off on Hampton, and it's a great place. They buy and sell jewelry and coins as well. And they also create their own designs. And then they'll also create a design that you tell them to do, and they'll make that happen also. And they repair watches. you know, I'm sitting here with a 45-year-old gold Seiko watch. 45 years I had this thing.
Nice. Yeah, I like it.
It is nice. It is nice. They will repair anything like that over at Jewels on Hampton. So that's that place. Great place to go. Let me then finally say, and you know, you see what you're wearing tonight, right? You see what I'm wearing. Okay. I always wear suit and tie. I shouldn't say always. Every once in a while, I dress down on the air, but which I did with you one day.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I will say that if you go to the St. Louis Suit Company,
of course,
in Clayton, it is really a terrific place to buy suits. The prices are great.
I used to go there, my friend.
The suits are great. Did you go? Well, I used to.
Well, because I don't work on television anymore.
Oh, I get it. Okay, there you go.
I wear a sports jacket in the morning sometimes, and this is late night for me. Yeah. So.
Okay.
Yeah, but no, well, but if I need my suit, I'm going to St. Louis Suit Company.
Yeah, how about ties?
Ties as well. Although, ties are kind of going out, aren't they? I like your tie. I just haven't gotten a new tie in a while.
Yeah, I buy ties.
I own like 200 ties.
I buy ties all the time, and I've got many ties. And the reason is because they're $5 per tie at the St. Louis Suit Company. I've talked to them about it, and they laugh, and they go, yeah, we're never raising that price. And now, I compare that to the fact that you could get, because he's got a bunch left over, because like everything else, he went bankrupt, and that's Donald. He sold ties, and he sold them for $50. You could buy a tie like this for $50 that you can get down at the suit company for $5.
No, it was much better.
And let me say, no, it was a very nice silk tie. And then the special thing about those ties, this I know you didn't know, is when you bought those Trump ties and you put them on, they had a special thing inside, and it would choke you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, I gotcha.
Yeah. Anyway, St. Louis Suit Company on the corner of Forsyth and Central in Clayton. They've been there for 29 years. Great place to buy clothing.
Yeah, there we go. Okay. If I ever need a ring or jewelry, I'm sure your friend will trade it out with us over here for some airtime, right?
Probably.
I'll tell him Mark told me he could
do anything I say.
We'll just trade it out.
He's that good of a guy.
All right. Yeah. I like it.
Yeah, he's excellent. Okay, so how about this one for you?
All right, here we go. I've had no idea. I've had no time to prepare for anything, but I love this setting.
Now, that's the way I've always been thrown into this with conservatives. Oh. You know, not telling me anything and then, you know, trying
not
to see.
Not with our show in the morning.
Yeah, no. Well, we never talked about it. But anyway, how about Aileen Cannon? Now, there's a heck of a judge, right?
I disagree.
You don't think she's good?
She's overseeing another one of those cases that I told you about.
Yeah, but you realize,
and it's a Trump case.
But you realize that she's come down on the side of Trump in a way that is so outrageous that federal judges all over the country are having heart attacks over it.
And she was fair at first and was considered to be a bad judge by the left.
Well, and by the 11th district.
I know what she's doing. I mean, go ahead. I'm sorry, I don't want to interrupt.
No. But you know, the 11th district kicked her butt twice, and they're conservative, but they kicked her butt twice because she really is doing things that are outrageously wrong.
Okay.
And wait, and I'll give you the last one, then you can respond. So what she's done now is she told Donald through his lawyers that she wasn't going to rule on this question of dismissing the case, but she would rule on it later if they brought it up again. She would rule on it when the jury was being impaneled because, by the way, I mean, was she tricking somebody? At that point, if she then turns around and says that the case is dismissed, you've got double jeopardy attached. And so as a result, nobody could try Donald. And she told them, bring it back when the jury's here, and then I'll consider it. Now, today, finally, Jack Smith had enough of this, and he went to her. He said, look, you keep this up, and I'm taking you to the 11th district for the third time, and we're going to ask to have you removed from this entire case, and they probably will. So go ahead.
What do you want me to say?
Well, what do you think?
This is another trumped up charge about classified documents, and it's unfair, just like it was when you compare the situation that Donald Trump is, quote, in now because of Jack Smith's situation. And you know what Jack Smith's role in all of this is, right? It's to make sure 100% that we keep Donald Trump off the ballot. Well, he's going to fail in doing that. It's over. Donald Trump is going to be running if he's breathing. So that was Jack Smith's number one job. And he has been coordinating with all of these attorney generals around the country. They've all been working together, Mark.
I hope so.
Oh, my God. Of course you do.
I hope so.
Of course you do. And in the midst of the Presidential Records Act, which is what the judge was getting into with Eileen Cannon, and once again, I didn't have time to prepare everything, but I do know enough from studying the situation. Once again, all this entertainment that's going on in between, it's not going to end up in anything, Mark.
How about the problem?
He's not going to end
up. Okay. How about the
problem? And you know that.
No, I don't know it. How about the problem where his people are going to come in and say, because they've already said it, and they're
his attorneys trying to.
No, the witnesses.
Which witnesses are we talking about?
The witnesses from Mar-a-Lago.
Mm-hmm.
The people who he told to flood the room in order to get rid of the evidence. And then
out a whole bunch of things,
and,
Mark.
And then he told them to get this stuff out of here because the feds are coming.
Correct.
And listen.
Correct.
It's against the law.
Wait a second.
It is exactly what got Jeff Smith.
Is it against the law to have your documents in a convertible in the garage?
It is.
I'm talking about Joe Biden.
You're talking about. The question is, are you lying to the FBI and to the Department of Justice? Because if you do that, it doesn't even matter what you're talking about.
Jack Smith belongs in prison for the fake charges.
We'll put him in prison if you can
Donald
get him
Trump,
there.
Okay, I'm just telling you now.
Yeah.
We have already seen witnesses who have come forward and lied about Donald Trump and gotten caught. And then their testimony not even being allowed. These things have happened in these cases, Mark. It's the same thing that's going to happen. Donald Trump will not be convicted in a manner that he is not allowed to run for president. And the American people know this, and that's why his ratings continue to go up. And what blows my mind is his African-American ratings, people of color and younger voters. Even Democrats are announcing this now, going, oh, crap, there's a mass exodus from the party with younger people under the age of 38. We got some serious issues.
Do you know that back?
So these issues, getting back to the case that you're bringing up, it's another one of these cases, Mark. Legitimately, it's another one of these cases that we have that would not happen to anybody else except Donald Trump.
Yeah,
because they're such gray area cases. There's no meat to the cases. I know you disagree.
Yeah, of course I disagree. And obviously we don't have time to litigate it all here. But you know, what we do have time to say is that, you know.
And we just need proof. With Trump, all those things you said, there's no proof. Those are just coming from, quote, witnesses.
Here's where we're going to get proof. The juries are going to come back. You know, this is exactly what happened to Al Capone. Al Capone got away with what he did for decades.
Please try to tell me that you're not comparing Al Capone to Donald Trump. If there was anybody to compare Al Capone to, it's the Biden crime syndicate led by Joe Biden and his brother. Actually, wait a minute. Joe lost his brain. Now his son. Oh, my son, Hunter. He's such a good kid. So misunderstood.
Yeah.
He's so misunderstood. Come here, hookers.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
Okay. Which has
that laptop's not real.
It isn't real.
The CIA signed off on it, even though now there's proof of it.
Yeah. So we know that they can't impeach Joe Biden because there's nothing to impeach him on because
he's the crime family.
Because the three witnesses they had are all now fugitives from justice.
No, that was a nice play that they did after the fact.
Yeah. Okay. Right.
To try to disprove any credibility with the laptop.
Okay. So let me ask you this. Do you know who
I love you, dude.
Do you know who Biff is?
Which Biff?
Well, how many
Biffs I know the name Biff from the political scene over there.
No.
But I want to know
forget the political scene.
Okay. Which Biff are you talking about?
I'm talking about in Back to the Future.
That's the Biff. That was the first Biff that I knew.
Yeah, that's the Biff.
But one of my really good friends is also a Biff here in the St. Louis area.
Okay. But I'm just saying this. Here's what we got coming. Somebody, somewhere in this country, is going to find a little red and white book, and it's going to say sports scores of the last 50 years. And they're going to put it in a trash can and burn it. And you know what? This new reality that we're stuck in is going to completely disappear if we can just find the book. What do you think?
Oh, my God. Okay. What'd you just say?
We just got to find the book.
Oh, we got to find the book.
Yeah, sports scores of the last 50 years. That's what's getting us. I'm telling you. That's the alternate reality.
Mark.
That's what we're in.
Mark, I have a serious question.
And listen, Donald will be perfect then. Instead of being up in that tower of his,
Mark, do you see
he'll be detailing cars.
Do you see a specialist? Do you? Mark, do you have somebody to talk to? And don't tell me your wife. God bless her. Even if she feels the same way. Do you talk to somebody professionally?
Professional? I mean, sort of. I mean, I talk to psychologists all the time.
Mark,
and I'll tell you,
Mark,
do you know that there's a psychologist today?
This Trump derangement
syndrome,
man. Hang on
a second. There's a psychologist today. Listen to this one.
Okay, I'll hear it.
Because this is really important. Because I want you to have this on your mind every day. This guy's name is Dr. John Gartner.
Mm-hmm. I'm not familiar with him.
Okay. Well, most people wouldn't be. He is a top psychologist at the John Hopkins Medical Center.
I've heard of that place.
Yeah, some people would. And he's been there for 28 years. And today he said that from everything he's observed, that Donald is very close to going off the edge of a cliff.
Yeah, okay.
So, I mean,
and did you check?
You asked about professional.
Uh-huh. Did you check his donor list? And I'm sure he has donated to every liberal cause he can possibly donate to. Because that's what we're finding. It's very interesting. All these judges who are coming after Trump and leading the cases, they're all hardcore left liberals. They've all got a track record of donating to liberal causes. Even Judge Manchin, the new one, has a daughter who works with liberal political activists and candidates, including Kamala Harris, all these connections
perfect.
To the left, left,
perfect.
Left.
So first of all, his name's Marshawn.
That's why middle people
hang on a sec.
And Republicans can never take any of this stuff serious.
Hang on a second.
No evidence,
Judge,
and liberals leading the cause.
Judge Marshawn. Okay. So here's the question about Judge Marshawn. If you were in a court, personally, you, Vic, if you were in a court, and you were on trial for anything, would you go into the courtroom and start calling the judge names, attacking his family, making fun of the people in the courtroom?
Donald Trump did everything that you're saying right now.
Yeah. Would you do it?
If I was in Donald Trump's shoes
no.
attorney told me.
If you're Vic Faust.
You have to give.
I want to know if you're Vic Faust. Would you do it?
If I was told by my attorney to do it,
100%. Okay. Would you do it?
Because there's no doubt in my mind that the attorney told Donald
Trump. Well, there's
no
doubt in your
mind.
To
do it.
No doubt in your mind. I'm just asking you this. Would you do it?
I don't know that situation unless I'm in it. And I'm not trying to be hard.
Yeah. I mean.
Or difficult to deal with.
So.
But
you won't answer the question.
In a perfect,
the question is so simple.
If a judge was being fair and honest, hell no, I wouldn't do that.
Of course.
But the case that you're bringing up, the judge was not. It was a fake situation. It's a made-up situation. He was not getting the benefit of the letter, the benefit of the law in any situation regarding that case. And you know it.
Sports scores
and his attorney knew
of
it.
The last 50
years. So they
years.
Told him, Donald, this is your opportunity to put that message out. Since all of these judges are trying to gag you and not allow you to speak about the atrocities that are happening to you in court, that wouldn't happen to any other American.
Okay, we're out of time.
That went fast.
We're out of time. But I just want to say again, this will help you every day.
Mark, I went to counseling and it was the best thing I could have done. I've got a counselor for you I think can help you.
Sports scores.
I'm going to give you his number.
Sports scores of the last 50 years.
Okay.
That's all you need to know.
All right.
That'll solve this whole thing. Burn that book. But that's the only book we want to burn. But burn it. Because believe me, it causes problems. Huge problem. Okay. So, Wendy's, Jules on Hampton, and St. Louis Suit Company. We love them. Okay? And we love you too, Vic. Really, we do.
Hey, appreciate it. You and your audience are welcome into our show. We do. We give everybody a platform. Democrats, Republicans, Independents, Black, White, Mexican, even those Chinese nationalists that are coming into our country illegally, they're all welcome on our show.
The ones who commit no crimes whatsoever.
No, the ones that are plotting and planning. No, okay. It's the Venezuelans who are causing all the crime. Okay,
so let me say this. This is something you can check. TalkSTL.net.
TalkSTL.net. Should I write this down?
Yeah, write it down. That's my website.
Oh, I know that website. I've got it.
And then you go to the reading room mm-hmm. and you read the article about how little crime there is among immigrants compared to American people that are born.
You're doing
here.
It again.
It's tiny.
No, you're doing tiny. It again. It does no, because the amount of those people is so small. It's not an apples to apples.
Okay.
And not one crime in this country should happen by an illegal because not one illegal should be here.
Yeah. Well, that's right. Make them all legal. Let them in. Okay. I love immigrants. Bring them in, everyone. This is Showdown. I'm Mark Kaysen. Careful. You're sitting there pulling your... You don't have a Trump tie on. You can't choke.
Oh, my God.
Good night.